No one in my family or in my lineage went to college. So I felt like that was the best way for me to break the cycle and set a good example for my siblings. I always wanted to be someone that they were proud of and that they look up to. And doing so, you know, school was the way I found healing.
Hey, family, I'm Leon Guidry. Welcome to the Brother Be Well podcast. Our conversations focus on mental health and wellness. Our intent is to provide a safe space for boys and men of color to reduce disparities, remove stigma, heal trauma, and to end prolonged suffering. Listen up, y'all.
Hi, I'm Michael P. Coleman. I'm Director of Content and Chief Writer for Brother Be Well. Today, we're talking with Justin Martinez. He's a youth advocate and Brother Be Well content contributor. He's also got an inspirational story of trauma, resilience, and recovery. Justin, how's it going today?
How you doing, Mike? It's my pleasure to be here.
Great to be here. We've had a couple of conversations already, so I'm eager to just keep it going. You've got quite the story to tell here.
Yeah, let's do it.
And specifically, when I think about resilience, you're not one of the people I think of right away, Justin. You're the first in your family, if I've got this right, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're the first in your family to graduate from high school and go on to college. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes.
It's often my experience has been anyway that it's hard to be the first to do anything. It's very hard sometimes to be the first at anything. Yeah. And you wrote that in doing so, I'm going to quote you, you said, "I changed the trajectory of my family's history." Those were such powerful words. I'm wondering why it was important for you to do that.
Yeah. Great question, Michael. You know, it was very important for me to break the cycle in my family. And I did a lot of studying through my lineage, my grandparents and my uncles, my aunts, and realized that no one in my family or in my lineage has went to college. So I felt like that was the best way for me to break the cycle and set a good example for my siblings. You know, I always wanted to be someone that they were proud of and that they look up to, along with myself and for my family, my parents, and everyone else. So in doing so, you know, school was the way I found healing as well. Getting my education, learning more, growing more, becoming more. All of that was a product of going to school and getting my college education. I just graduated in May this year, actually, the first COVID graduating class of 2020. And I graduated with my psychology degree. So I couldn't be more proud of myself, and I'm ready to create my own path.
We couldn't be more proud of you. Congratulations on that degree, Justin.
Thank you.
I think you said San Francisco State University, I believe it was.
State, baby.
Congratulations.
Gators.
Congrats. It's hard for me to go on from that. I'm a Michigan man, so I want to say go blue, but I'm going to let you have your moment in the sun, dude.
It's all right. My grandfather's from Michigan.
Listen, I'm wondering about psychology. You mentioned it. Was that field, that decision to study psychology by design, or, you know, how'd you figure out that you wanted to do that? I would imagine there's a correlation between that major and some of the things you went through earlier in life.
Yeah, from high school to graduation, it was 12 years for me to get that 4-year degree. And I didn't know what I wanted to do at first. That's why it took me so long. And I changed my mind and I quit school twice and I just couldn't pick anything. And then, you know, psychology found me. I like to say psychology found me. I took one of the core classes, the introduction to psychology, and I fell in love with it. And I also found healing and answers as to why things could be some way or why people act a certain way. And then I started to study my lineage again, like I said before, and just kind of realizing the trauma and the intergenerational trauma that was being passed down to me and my siblings and my cousins and all the ones after me. And I just, light went off again. And I said, you know what? I gotta change this cycle, and I gotta do what's right for me. I gotta go get my education, and here we are.
You've touched on a few of them, and again, I gotta say congratulations to you. I know how hard it is to go back to school, and my journey wasn't a traditional 4-year one either. So congratulations on that, Justin. I'm wondering if you can share with our Brother Be Well viewers, what are your own keys to recovery? For everybody, it's different. So what have been the keys to recovery for you? And what can you say to others to encourage them to keep going in the face of sometimes almost overwhelming adversity?
Yeah. Recovery is huge. You know, We can't become whole until we recover from our past or what we've been through. And a big part of it is forgiveness for me, finding forgiveness, finding empathy and understanding for the ones that have hurt me or may have hurt me in the past, or the ones that I have hurt. You know, I have to find forgiveness for myself these days, you know, because I'm the only one responsible for me. And that's how I move through my life. You know, I'm going to continue to make mistakes and I'm going to continue to learn from them and grow from them. But as far as resilience, you know, once I had my mind set on school, there wasn't anything that was going to stop me from getting it done. And I had to surround myself with a good positive support system, you know, because I wasn't a good positive support for myself. You know, I had a lot of hate, resentment, anger, bitterness from the things that I've been through, or from the people who were or weren't there for me, and who I felt like should have been, or all of that. You know, I had to do away with it, and I had to find myself on this journey. And I knew that I wanted to set a good example for my siblings, and I knew that was through education and through the foster care program that I had been through. And once I got the support from my community, there was no stopping me. I quit twice, came back, finished strong all the way till the end, 12-year journey, got my degree, and I couldn't be more proud of myself.
Wow. As I said, we couldn't be more proud of you, Justin. You've done an amazing job. You talked about community support. And that's a great lead into a program I've just learned about. I understand you got a lot of help from the Guardian Scholars Program, a program that supports foster youth during their educational journeys. You ultimately, even I understand, became a leader in that program. So I'm wondering if you'd be willing to tell us about that experience, the experience you had with that program.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like I said, I'm proud of myself, but I couldn't have done it alone. And that's another part of the resilience and recovery point that I'd like to make, is know that you're not in it alone and you cannot do it alone. So you have to find your support system. You got to put your hand out and be vulnerable and say, you know, I need help, or I've been here and I've been there, but I don't know what I'm doing. So once you do that and you start asking those questions, the support is there. The support is there in the Guardian Scholars Program. Once I found it and I became a part of it in 2014, when I finally went back to school for the last time and finished strong, it was all downhill from there. They gave me all the support, all the belief in myself that I could do whatever it is I chose to do. And I advocated for them. I became a Guardian Scholars president. I became a foster care advocate. I went to conferences. I did a bunch of things that surround the foster care community because I came from that and I was a part of it. And I wanted to show others that they could do the same thing if they come from that background. And this program is a statewide program. It's a statewide initiative at junior colleges, at CSUs, state colleges in particularly, for the foster care community. If you've been in foster care, you can go to the school and ask for their support. They have it there. And most likely, if you are in foster care, then you're also a first generation college student. And there's an extended opportunity program there. There's so many services for you if you choose to go the educational route and go and get your degree. You just got to know how to ask, who to ask, and why it's important to ask. And then the help will be handed over, and then the work is on you, and it's all downhill.
And so for a student right now in school, they can go to their student services office and just ask about the Guardian Scholars Program, and then the school will point them in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yep. It may be called something different in junior college. It was called Enriched Scholars Program for me in junior college. And then when you get to the CSU system, it's called the Guardian Scholars Program. So just ask for your support for foster care, first generation college students, and your ethnic background. There's so much to put in there. Just ask for help.
Justin, can't thank you enough once again. We're going to chat. We got another conversation coming up, and you and I might battle it out because you've got a specific idea about superpowers.
Yes, sir.
You might be able to see, you know, anybody in my office, it looks like the Fortress of Solitude, I'm told, in here. Want to get into a conversation with you about empowering others. I met you about, I don't know, 2 months ago now. It hasn't been that long. I feel like I've known you for quite some time, by the way, but it's just been a couple of months. And one of the first things you said to a group, you said your vulnerability is your superpower. Mm-hmm. that both resonated with me and intrigued me a little bit, because my vision of a superpower, you know, I got a Superman fixation. So my vision of a superpower doesn't necessarily involve vulnerability, or I didn't think of it that way right away. And right. as you explained that, you brought me around and I got what you were getting at. So I wanted you to have an opportunity to share with Brother Be Well viewers, talk about your vulnerability being a superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout my college journey, I've had several times opportunities to share my story and to share my experience with the foster care system and just being resilient and going to college. So my vulnerability of expressing these truths about trauma, about healing and resiliency, recovery, all of this stuff has been a benefit to me and to the ones around me, more importantly, because I am a man and we're not taught to be vulnerable. That's not the first thing that we do. We're taught to be tough, to be a superhero, to do it all, to be strong. And we forget about the other side of ourselves, and that is our vulnerability. And when you can expose that, when you can dive into the wounds that we have, then we can heal from them and then we become stronger. So it actually goes hand in hand with me in my life that I love being vulnerable. I love sharing my experience because I love helping those around me. If I could do it to one person, then I've done diligence for the day, you know, and I think all of us can learn from that, because you have to become whole. You have to become a complete man or a person through your vulnerability. You can't neglect your vulnerability because all of us are vulnerable.
Where'd you learn that, if I could ask you that? Where'd you pick that up? Because some people live their whole lives and they don't quite figure that out yet.
You know, I can't really pinpoint it to one particular thing, but I would say it's the feedback that I got from people when I shared my story.
Wow.
When I hear these young men come up to me and say, you know what, that really helped me, that really inspired me, and I myself identify with X, Y, and Z that you touched on or that you talked about. And, you know, when I'm like, when I grow up, I want to be like you. And just hearing those types of things made me realize that I don't have to be tough. I don't have to be strong all the time. I could express myself. I could be vulnerable. I could share my pain. I could share my hurt, because that's a part of the process. That's a part of being strong. Like I said, your vulnerability is your superpower, you know, and we can all be Superman through that way.
You can be a part of my Justice League anytime you want to, Jay.
Appreciate that.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, it's clear to me that you've chosen to lead by example. And I think a lot of times people who aspire to be leaders never quite figure out that the best way to do that is to lead by example. You decided, and you wrote in a piece for Brother Be Well, mm-hmm. that you've chose to be the person that you could admire. I'm reminded of Gandhi's quote, "Be the change you want to see in the world," came to mind when I read that. But I had never heard self-esteem described quite that way before. Mm-hmm. Be someone that you admire. My question for you as we wrap this chat up is, have you achieved that? Do you admire yourself?
Definitely. I think it's an endless acquiring to be a man that I admire. I'll never be a man that I admire enough. You know, it'll always be changing and growing, which is a beautiful thing. But one of my sources of motivation is my motivational speaker that I listen to, Wes Watson. And he always says, acquire what you admire, acquire what you admire. And it really just sticks with me. And I always try to find, you know, role models and leaders, you know, through men in my life that I look up to, or that I like the characteristics and behaviors that they adopt. And I just try to acquire those things. I try to become that a little bit more of a person that I want to be like, or someone that I look up to, because that's how I feed myself. That's how I learn how to become my best friend and not my worst enemy. Those are just things that I want to do, because we're always learning from each other, and I don't have all the answers, and I'm growing into a man myself without any guidance or any father in front of me that's leading the way. So I have to pull from these external resources. I got to be resourceful. I got to learn. I got to grow. And I'm always acquiring what I admire.
Well, it is a journey, Justin, and I will say to you, I admire you, dude. The courage and the resilience that you've displayed just has been really inspirational to me. So thanks for the friendship, man, and thanks for being willing to share your story with Brother Be Well. We talked a little bit about the early childhood traumatic events that you have gone through and have endured and recovered from. Collectively, they're often referred to as adverse childhood experiences or ACEs. As you know, they often result in toxic stress in children who have been exposed to situations like parental incarceration, substance abuse, sexual abuse, violence, neglect, things of that nature. Yep. I'm wondering, given the very early age you were at when you began to experience ACEs, if you were even aware of ACEs, did you even know that ACEs existed when you were going through that very, very difficult period of your life?
Right. Yeah. Before I start, I just want to say, you know, I share this information openly. I share my feelings, my vulnerabilities openly, and it's never to ever bash my parents for what they put me through or my siblings through, my family. You know, it's all a part of life, and I've been able to heal and overcome and find my forgiveness and now help. So to go back to your question, Mike, I had no clue what ACEs were. I just found out what they were last year in one of my classes in college. Mm-hmm. So when I watched this TED Talk on ACEs, and she mentioned a correlation between having four or more ACEs and toxic stress, having inflammation and contributing to inflammation and autoimmune diseases in my body, the light bulb went off. And I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease, when I was 23 years old. And I had five surgeries after that related to my disease. The autoimmune disease tears up my joints, the cartilage. It deteriorates it. So I had arthritis young, you know, on top of playing sports, on top of being active and inheriting things throughout your lineage. All of those are contributors. But I had no clue about it when I was a child. But I'm glad that I know about it now. And hopefully we could show others what it's all about.
You touched on what was going to be my next question. You were reading my mind. I'm wondering about taking a look at you, Justin. You wouldn't necessarily know that you suffer from chronic health problems. So you touched on rheumatoid arthritis. Have there been other physical manifestations of ACEs in your life?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The arthritis went into my hand really bad. So this is my dominant hand that I write with, that I really do everything with, but I'm learning how to do things with my left hand now. So definitely the toxic stress environment of, you know, being evicted, witnessing domestic violence, going to foster care, both of my parents being incarcerated at the same time and living with no lights, electricity or gas, was extremely toxic, extremely stressful, extremely traumatic for me and my siblings. And, you know, it's just a part of what manifests, what's a byproduct of that toxic stress, you know, and I definitely feel like that was a huge contributor to my autoimmune disease and having more than usual inflammation in my life. But I've learned how to adapt to it. You know, it's just it's a part of the journey. But definitely a toxic environment and contributed to my health.
We're going to talk a little bit about the rest of that journey next time around, specifically how you dealt and coped with trauma, Justin. Before I let you go, I want to say I really appreciated your comments up front about this wasn't about bashing anybody. It's about helping everybody. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Justin, really appreciate you being here and being so transparent about sharing your story. And I want to thank you for checking us out as well. If you've seen anything of interest, I want to encourage you to go to our website, mentalhealthca.org. You can check out resources of Brother Be Well. You can even subscribe to our magazine there. And that'll keep you covered until next time around and the next time you check out one of these videos. So in the meantime, again, I'm Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well, encouraging you to take good care of yourself and somebody else. Bye-bye.
It's been a pleasure, Mike.
Been good, man.
Thanks for listening to the Brother Be Well podcast. I'm Leon Guidry. Shout out to our sponsor, Blue Shield of California's Blue Sky Initiative. It takes a village, and we're doing our part to address and heal trauma while supporting parents and caregivers along the way. Thanks for stopping by, and remember, my brothers, be well.